Here we go.
I hit record accidentally.
Oh, shit.
We were all not right. ready to
we're
start
live.
Anyway.
We're live. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Yeah, Right Skeptics. I'm your host, Mike.
And I am your other host, Mike. Let's do it with the last names. Just once.
Yeah. Okay.
You're the host.
I'm your host, Mike Wierzynski.
And I'm your host, Mike O'Day.
Great. That worked.
Yeah. Like that. We could do that every time.
Yeah. Okay.
So how's everybody doing? Let's not number the episode because we don't quite know,
yeah, we don't know
exactly what order they're going out. This is another episode of Yeah, Right Skeptics. We are very happy to have you if you're listening. And if you're not, we're really not happy with you, but mm-hmm. you'll never know about it.
Fuck you.
Until you listen to this eventually, as I think widespread popularity is inevitable, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Get out of here. Come on.
And what better way to attract new listeners
than to insult
than to
them.
Beg yeah. for new listeners on a podcast well, that no one's listening to?
Yeah. Don't say that.
You guys aren't listening, please listen.
You're going to feel quite the fool when they are listening.
Well, I hope that I eat my words on that one.
You know, eat crow, that's a weird expression.
I've never
heard that.
That
comes from?
Eat crow?
Yeah, you're going to make them eat crow. Or,
no.
Or, yeah, that's a thing.
I've never heard that. What's it mean?
Well, it's sort of like you put your foot in your mouth and you're mm-hmm. going to regret it. If I make you eat crow, I'm going to make you eat your words. I think that's my concept of it.
Well, maybe.
Or is, you know there might be started? More to it. You know what? Very likely I'm like Biff Tannering that and it's a combination of a couple different things that I've turned it into.
I'm just trying to imagine what it could mean. Like
I have an image in my head of like a cartoon of some guy eating crow's pie, like he's eating a pie mm. with crow's feet sticking out, and it was like a illustration of that expression. I feel like that may have something to do with the origin of it.
Interesting. My mind immediately went to like Jim Crow laws, that somehow it's like you're going to regret putting those laws into motion come the 60s, civil rights movement.
You'll be cannibalized.
Yeah. Anyway, so what do you got for us? You were alluding to a big story.
I had,
well, maybe not
well
a big story,
I had, you know, I, skepticism. I feel like I can't go a day. I don't know if you feel the same way. I can't go a day without fucking face palming because of somebody.
Yeah.
And you, whether you're at work or your family or friends, and you just kind of go, oh, really? Is that how,
yeah,
is that
exactly.
how it works? Is that what that led you to believe?
Mm-hmm.
You're sure of that then? That's how that works. You know.
Yeah, I have that all the time, and I probably shouldn't be on Facebook. I probably shouldn't be on the
no,
internet.
That's the worst.
That's
the worst. I find, I don't know if you're on Reddit. I don't
mm-hmm.
know how many other people that are listening are, but I found Reddit Skeptic is usually pretty good,
mm-hmm.
And nowhere else in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually
right.
people will consider things on Skeptic. There's always a few people that slip through the cracks,
mm-hmm.
but usually most people will quantify or qualify their statements.
Yeah, right.
But nowhere else in life, and it's a constant struggle. You cannot correct everyone. You just
yeah.
can't do it.
I know
it's not feasible, and it's probably not your job either.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you a little bit of a douchebag,
a little bit of a dick-like douche. Yeah, yeah.
But some stuff you cannot let it go. You just can't let
well,
it go.
That's the thing. There's a certain button inside my head that
yeah.
if you say something that's just a little too stupid,
yeah, yeah,
I
yeah,
can't
yeah, yeah,
let
yeah.
it slide.
I feel like when somebody is making major life decisions around it, that's when I have to interject.
Yeah, that's
opinion.
A pretty big deal.
Or if somebody that's important to me is, you know, extremely worried or flustered or afraid of something, that's very likely not even a real problem. That's when you have to, you feel like you're sort of like a superhero. I mean, I think we talked about that before.
Yeah. What do you think the S stands for on your chest?
You wear an S on your chest? How long have you had that?
No, I didn't say it was my chest. I said the chest.
Of superheroes.
Yes.
Right.
We all have one.
Yeah. Okay, so I was, I visited my folks over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And at my mom's house, the police, well, presumably it was the police, had put this handwritten note on the mailbox that said...
Oh, wow. Handwritten.
In permanent marker. And that said, please, we've had a series of break-ins in the Folsom area. Mm-hmm. That's the town they live in. Please don't leave valuables in your car. It's been, even in broad daylight, people are breaking in. And I think that usually there's probably an increase in break-ins at the Christmas season that people know that there's gifts and valuables around the house and things.
Seems likely. I haven't seen any hard data, but...
Yeah, but it seems...
Seems reasonable.
That's a reasonable assumption. And...
I mean, just look at Home Alone.
Yeah.
You know, they were worried.
That documentary. And so we... so every year it's the same. There's always an increase because her husband's car was broken into once a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so every time I go up there, she's like, now make sure you don't have any valuables in your car. You've unplugged everything, no electronics, everything that's valuable. And, you know, because they'll break in. And I went, I said, well, Mom, they did it once. But, you know, I've been had my car broken into before once, but it's not like everywhere I go, I'm worried about it. So, I don't leave valuable things, but it's not like I'm going out of my way. I don't, like, take off my... What do you call it? The faceplate on the radio or anything like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, that would be
pretty... I don't go crazy worried about it, but I don't leave, like, an iPod on the seat. Or
sure, yeah. Smart.
iPod by Apple. There are no, they're not our sponsor. Wouldn't that be cool? We don't have any sponsors.
I wish, yeah.
So
eventually.
We... okay, so she says that all the time. I don't ever really take it very seriously, and nothing happened this time, like always.
Mm-hmm.
So then I came home...
Yeah.
After the holidays, and she had gone on some vacation as well, and so we talked eventually later down the road.
Sure.
And she said that they get this Folsom newsletter, like the city sends out these updates about what's going on.
Now, is that handwritten too, or is that actually a legitimate?
No, that's a legitimate. Okay. That's a legitimate thing. Good. Only the police
newsletters
leave
legit
handwritten
notes.
Oh, and they signed it the Folsom Police. That's how, by the way, that their handwritten note. So,
love it.
Very likely it was actually them, because who else could possibly do that? Who could
I don't
forge
know.
That
it
signature?
It might be Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
You never know. Notes. So, in that Folsom newsletter, they said the new thing, I'm paraphrasing because I haven't read it.
Okay.
The new thing that the criminals are doing is they will go to your house and they will knock on the door and pose as a solicitor.
Mm-hmm.
And then if nobody answers, then they'll go around back and break in.
Mm.
Okay.
Interesting.
Presumably, they caught one of them, shook him down, and he spilled the whole plan.
Yeah, right.
And so, and I guess what had happened was some people would ignore solicitors, and then they would break in anyway while people were home, and they'd run away. Or...
Yeah, right. What a smart plan that is.
Yeah,
Jehovah's
foolproof.
Witnesses hide. <It's>... Oh, fuck, they're coming in the sliding glass door.
Is that broken glass? So that's what they said in the article that was happening. And, you know, it raises a few questions of the specific, where did they get the specifics of all that information, and how did they know if they didn't answer the door when that happened? How did they know that they were posing as solicitors? How did they know it was the same person? I guess that's, it could have seen them both.
Also, that plan on the criminal's part doesn't eliminate the fact that they're seen in broad daylight.
Yeah.
You're just increasing your chances of a witness.
Okay, so that's what she told me first. I read that a couple of weeks ago in the Folsom thing.
Okay.
And I swear, Michael, we are pretty sure that so far Thursday, if we had not been home, we would have been robbed. That's the story. That's how she opened it. I went, whoa, really? So she said, so we were at the house. It was like 7:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
We'd just gotten back the day before from our trip. And there was a knock on the door. And now you have to understand, my mom is the most cautious, fear-motivated person I've ever known, right? So, okay. There's a knock on the door. And normally with salespeople, I just go up to the door and I say, not interested, through the door. She doesn't even open the door, which would be weird if you're the solicitor. And what if you had something important, you know? Mm-hmm, so
sure. I have this kidney that's got to get to someone.
She went and looked through the peephole, and it was kind of, you know, it was dark already. And she just said, she couldn't really see his face. It was some guy. She said, I don't know, I'm not interested. I'm not interested, she said through the door. And then he started to leave, and I just had this weird feeling.
Oh, boy, weird feeling.
And then I opened the door a little bit just to see, make sure it wasn't like a neighbor who needed help or something. And he was about, you know, at the end of the walkway, but still close enough to hear me open the door. And he wasn't dressed like a solicitor. He had like a coat and these gloves and a hat on. And I said, Mom,
outrageous.
Wasn't it cold outside?
Yeah, right.
It wasn't cold, but it was like 50 degrees. Well,
you're
yeah.
You're coming from inside your house for 2 seconds in the outdoors.
Yeah, but
presumably
I said,
this guy's been walking around for hours.
It was probably cold. It wasn't. It was like 50 degrees. Yeah. Well, that's hat,
that's
glove,
cold.
And coat weather.
That's cold. That's freezing.
In Northern California.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it gets like in the wintertime.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the edge of winter, anyway. If you live in another climate, you're like, I wear T-shirts in that weather. Well, you know what? You smug bastard. We're not talking to you.
We're not living in
Northern California. It's different. We're not adapted. So, and that that was the entire story.
That was as much as she had to go.
That's as much information as she had. She did say he turned off the pathway at the end. And he kind of looked at me out of the corner of his eye, but he didn't turn around. Now, she didn't call out to him. She didn't say, excuse me, did you need help? She just sized him up, got a weird feeling, corner of his eye thing really put it over the edge. And that's how she knows she was almost robbed.
Wow.
And I said, Mom.
Come on.
I mean, first of all, you don't know if the story is true. But second of all, you just read the story. You had that in your mind, obviously. It could have been anybody at the door. It could have been a little girl, and you would have found a way to make that part of this diabolical plan.
Right.
Oh, she was a distraction.
Which would probably be a smarter move on the criminal part, by the way.
Yeah. And I said, "Why? If you're a criminal and you're going to break in, why would you do it at 7:30 at night?
Yeah.
When people are definitely going to be home.
Exactly.
If that was, if you're, that's your big grand plan, you're going to do that in the middle of the day or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it just, if you were there, you would have understood. It was a weird feeling. And I said, but weird feelings don't mean anything. You know,
exactly. If I was standing right next to you, I probably wouldn't have had the same weird feeling.
And even if I did, I would have behaved differently. I would have at least opened the door. What's the worst that could happen? You know, she's right that solicitors can be sort of hard to get away from your doorstep sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not all of them, but often enough that if I can understand not wanting to confront them at all.
Yeah.
So then she said, well, then the next day, I talked to my neighbor and I said, did you guys see anybody weird around the neighborhood recently? And they said, as a matter of fact, we did. We had this really weird solicitor come, and he just seemed off. He didn't seem like a normal professional solicitor. And and that's the whole story. And so that, in her mind, was confirmation that it was definitely this plan that was going on. And he didn't. Oh, that was another element. So I keep forgetting these details. Well, he didn't have anything in his hands. He didn't that he was selling. I said, you don't know what he was selling.
Yeah, nobody gave this guy a chance to say why anything. He was there.
What if he had a list that you were going to sign up and it was tucked up in his pocket after you didn't answer your door? I mean, that's it. That's all the information that there is.
Yeah.
But she is still convinced. We had the conversation, and I said, Mom, I hear fear-based reasoning. I hear confirmation bias. I say, maybe it was this guy, but you don't have enough information to draw that conclusion reasonably.
Yeah.
I guess in this instance, because the city had sent around a similar thing, there's no fault. You can't fault her for being cautious, but it was quite comical.
But that's the thing is, if she had not read that, would she have had all those same feelings?
Right, exactly.
It would have just been another solicitor.
Yeah, but she ignores all of that. She ignores all of that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't admit, because it feels so real to her. You know, it's people.
Yeah.
It's not just women. I didn't want to generalize. I almost did. But emotional people, people who are led by their emotions, regardless of gender, tend to... you can't just
talk them
out of it. The weaker
sex, they always do seem to...
The weaker sex, regardless of gender.
So that's a good point, and that relates to a couple things that I heard this week.
Which is
that you never doubt the veracity of the experience, but unfortunately, you can't go on that at all.
Yeah, like, it's a tough thing, isn't it?
Can feel real. And
if you trust, if you're a friend of somebody and they're not, like, prone to make things up or to lie, it doesn't mean that they're not susceptible to an emotional reaction, but it's tough if it's somebody that you'd normally trust to have to remind yourself that they could very well be full of shit and not realize it.
And people take it so personally, you know, when you try to tell them, well, look, you know, it's just one experience. You can't.
I know what I saw.
Yeah, that's always the defensive reaction you get.
And of course, the real answer to that is, no, you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You really don't.
Yeah.
You have an idea of what you saw, but you can't know it.
But
have you tested
that,
it? Yeah. Have you tried it? Did you go in and verify? No, it's usually a fleeting glimpse of something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, I can have any dream that feels as real as you want.
They made that movie, The Fire in the Sky. Have you heard about that? About that alien.
The alien, yeah. I actually saw that.
In where the hell was that? In the States somewhere.
Utah or someplace like that.
Yeah, and it was like four or five friends, and they all saw the same ship, they say. Mm-hmm. And the one of them disappeared, was like abducted and disappeared for a couple of days. And doesn't have any memory of what happened, I think.
I don't remember all the details, but it's close to that.
I don't know if all of those guys are still alive, but there's the one who is, and he's like an outcast, and he lives alone, and he is obsessed with it still. It's been like 30 years, and he is absolutely convinced of what he saw and what was real. And I don't know what the answer to that is. There's a lot of things. It could be lying. It could be delusional. Or he actually saw something. He could have seen an alien craft. He could be the one guy, but we don't know.
But that's another good point, is he could have seen something, but we're so good at rationalizing what that something is, making up a story for what that something is. Just because it's unexplainable doesn't mean that...
It could be real and it could be fake, and that's the problem. That's the exact reason why, it's not likely to be real, but for fairness sake, it could be real, and so it's hard to really shut the door on those people, but you can't take them in, you can't believe them completely either.
Well, yeah, I mean,
stories.
A story and an experience and a feeling is never going to be enough.
Feelings are worse, because you don't even necessarily see something. then it's like, well, yeah, but it depends what you're thinking about, you know.
But that's usually a basis. That's usually part of the quote-unquote proof that someone will provide is that, well, but when I saw it, I had this really weird feeling when I saw it. And, well, yeah, of course, when you see something you can't explain, you're probably going to have a weird
in the church days. In the church days, I always felt that, too. That's what you had to
and that
come along with it. The Lord told me this and that, and he told me with feelings and emotions.
And that's the precedent, too, that you have for that is like, look at how many religious experiences people have and how tightly they cling to something. But because it makes sense in the religious paradigm. And when you believe all that stuff in the back of your mind and you see something unexplained, you're going to attribute it to all this other thing, this other belief system that you have.
I know.
If you believe in UFOs, you're probably going to see a strange light in the sky and think it's a UFO. So anyway, you can't discount the experience, but unfortunately the experience never counts as proof. So I heard a story from a coworker of mine. Let's call her Jenny W. No, that's too obvious. J. Wall.
So that's basically her real name with just an initial that's changed.
Yeah.
So we won't use
that. So she told me a story about...
J.
She told me a story about a ghost that she saw. She saw a ghost. And so, of course, the skeptic in me is going, oh, yeah, all right, let's hear this story and, like, let's try to think of a logical explanation.
Do you get like me where it's like every ghost story is another opportunity for them to finally have some proof?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Like, it'd be so interesting if it was real.
Mm-hmm.
If there really were ghosts or aliens or... this, that, or the other, miracles, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It would be awesome. We've never seen any proof of it. There's no reason to believe any of it. For all intents and purposes, they don't exist, but
this is the one story.
Has got that thing that...
This is the missing ingredient that we've always needed. And when you start a story with, I saw a ghost, then I'm immediately like, oh, man.
I'm not interested.
But so she goes, yeah, no, I saw a ghost. Or no, she said, I lived in a haunted house.
Oh.
And
you know, my one of my roommates, I hope they're not here. I hope they can't hear me. One of my roommates refuses to stay over at his girlfriend's house because he's convinced that it's haunted.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's all the information I have on that. But I did laugh openly when I first heard that.
And what's funny about these stories is they always start with a huge claim that then gets whittled down to something smaller and smaller and smaller until finally it is something like, oh, well, I just had a feeling, you know.
Right.
It started as this
big... It was cold in that spot.
Exactly right, yeah. So it started as this big umbrella claim of, I used to live in a haunted house. Then come to find out that she'd only had one experience. So well, to call on, just it a
tell,
house
tell the story
was the one experience, and so this is what the experience was. I saw a ghost. Here's how it happened. I was sitting on the couch watching TV, and I looked up at the window.
What were you watching?
I don't know. She didn't say
Fright Night.
Something scary.
Crypt. What was it called?
Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, that's probably a little old for that, but.
Real ghost stories.
Real ghost stories. Of Hollywood. Live. So she's watching TV. She's in the living room. She looks up to the window and sees a reflection in the window into the kitchen. Lights on in the kitchen. And so she can see into the kitchen.
Oh, right.
Window.
She can see what's going on in the kitchen
and
by the reflection.
And she sees a girl standing over the sink, brushing her hair forward from the back obsessively. And she knows it's...
That's creepy.
Very creepy, right? Why would you be brushing your hair like that?
Yeah.
So weird.
Oh, wait a minute. Why
Stop
are you
it?
Even there?
And she knows it's true because her dog saw it, too. That's her...
How does she know?
That's her final proof. The dog reacted...
To what?
How to the woman. Somehow.
But was she standing there barking?
No. She didn't say barking. I think what she meant is the dog looked up to the window.
Hopefully she didn't mean that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
She didn't go into great detail, but that was it. So already it's gone from I saw a ghost to, well, I indirectly saw a weird reflection in a window.
But I wonder, is that the end of the story?
That could be a ghost. That's it. That was the sighting.
Oh, man, I want to know more.
Yeah, I know.
You should press her for more details and tell us more later. Because I want to know, did she turn around and there was nothing there? I mean, was there actually a little girl there? Get out of here. Sorry.
And it's been a while since she told the story, too, so now I'm foggy on the details. But I got the impression that it was one of those things where she looked away from the window and looked back and nothing there.
So I've never seen anything like that patently obvious and hard to explain. But I want to know what she saw. So I think that what's important, the important thing out of that, if we don't have any more info, is that's the way the story's told. Mm-hmm. And the story is extremely intriguing.
Yeah.
Right? Who wouldn't be intrigued by that?
Right.
But experience has taught me that if pressed for details, these stories turn into, well, it was girl-like.
That's exactly.
And I say it was brushing her hair. I guess it could have been trees outside in the wind that, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Even with the lack of detail that we had, it went from haunted house to one experience to indirect sighting to, well, my dog looked at the wind,
That's the best part.
Which,
that's,
you know.
You should, when you tell the story in the future, you should just tell it like that. The dog looked also.
And I know I saw it because the dog looked.
As an example, I had a coworker who. So when I started my new job, when I was new at my job, they told me that somebody asked me if I believed in ghosts and things, and I said no. And they said, "I don't know, man. People have seen some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know."
Yeah, that's always.
I don't want to say.
Nobody wants to outright admit.
I don't know. I don't know what they saw, but people have seen some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. Yeah. Completely uninterested. And within the first couple of weeks, let's see, we have security cameras all around the building. And it was a late night. And one of the security cameras that points basically towards the door out of our work area had this weird black shape in the center of the screen.
Weird.
And it's like the end of a hallway.
Yeah.
I just said an hallway. Is that correct?
Did you say an hallway? I don't know.
Sounds like
English,
a sounds
maybe.
Like a person, doesn't it?
An herb guy.
I'm an hallway. But what's the rule with that? And I thought sometimes you do it with an H and hero.
I've seen people do that, but
it never sounds right.
It doesn't work for me.
A hallway.
Yeah.
Okay.
The hallway.
Non sequitur.
Problem solved.
At the end of the hallway. So it's not close to the camera, of course.
Yeah. Right.
It's way at the end. But it's right past our doorway. So our doorway is also far away from the camera. And there's just this black spot. It looks almost like a stain, you know. It's not human-shaped or anything. I don't really remember what it was, but I remember distinctly that it didn't look like a person or anything. And it was just right at the edge of the shadow as well, of just the natural shadow of the building itself.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, "Dude, what the F is that?" And they were kind of freaking out about it, but not really scared, just thought it was weird. And I... this is, you know, as the skeptic,
right?
I find most of the time you are the skeptic in your circle.
Yeah,
very rarely is there somebody who's like, yeah, don't worry, dude, I'm on your side.
Yeah, exactly.
And I looked at it, and on the image of the video, the texture of that black was very weird.
Yeah.
It was sort of, it didn't look like it was a black thing that was physically there. It looked like it was reacting to the quality of the video screen, like pixelated. And then there are other black elements, you know, in the hallway, outlines of doors or things.
Uh-huh.
And they all had that weird texture. Everything that was black had that weird It was almost like it was kind of outlined with a very thin white line, so it popped out of the screen. Whatever it was,
I gotcha.
So all the, like the outlines of the doors and everything, they also had that thin white outline that made it pop a little bit. Same as that shape. So it was a weird thing. It looked like just an artifact, you know, like the video wasn't processing correctly. And it wasn't moving or anything, and it wasn't disappearing. It was just sitting there. It wasn't ominous, except for the fact that it kind of looked like it was actually physically out in the hallway, right? Okay. That was why people were freaking out, but it wasn't. And there's nothing else scary about it.
And the fact that it's at night.
And the fact that it was at night. So I just said, I just looked, and I noticed all those things, and I pointed them out. I said, look, it looks like it's an artifact, because... It looks just look a defect in the image. Look at this.
Look at that.
And instantly the reaction is,
I don't know.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was like imagine their big, bright smile at having found something unexplainable slowly fading as I'm injecting a dose of reality into it. Right. And then the conversation just drops. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any further discussion. I think it's probably an artifact. And it's that... So we're going to have to... we're going to have to finish this project and then we're going to... We got got lunch soon, and so and it just moved on, and that was the end of that. Mm-hmm. That was the first experience, but nobody called that a ghost. They were just it was just weird.
Just something weird.
But then, probably a couple months later, one of my coworkers went on his break by himself, and he went.
Uh-oh, recipe for disaster.
So when you leave that area where the camera was, you can walk towards the camera underneath it and go to take a break, or you can go into that dark shadow area.
Which probably not a lot of people do.
A lot of people do. And so he went that way for whatever reason. And then he came back, 10 or 20 minutes later and said, just saw something, dude. And I said, oh, did you? Yeah.
What was it? What did you see out there?
I think I saw a ghost.
A what? You saw a ghost?
Yeah.
What did it look like?
Well, I saw some pants.
You saw some pants.
I saw some pants.
Saw some pants.
Just like they just were
they?
They walked into
belt around them or just?
Well, I went. I don't know. It just was fast. I just saw pants.
Just the pants. What kind of pants?
Well, I went
Levi's,
to the
Dockers.
I went. I went the long way, you know.
Yeah.
And unless there's somebody here, I don't know. Or maybe there's somebody else here. But it was going into one of the offices, just these pants. I mean, I don't really know. I didn't really see much.
Did you follow the pants in there and see if the pants were on the
floor? No, dude, I didn't. No. I went to my break.
Because the break's
I needed a soda.
Been following a mysterious set of pants that's walking around.
Yeah. That's a reenactment, but that's basically how that conversation went. And I, that, so he really said that. He really said he saw pants.
It's unreal. Pants.
So specific, right?
Yeah.
Such a specific article of clothing. And I said, I mean, did you look at them? Was there a person in the pants? Were they folded neatly in a pile?
Yeah.
Were they just laying on the ground, a discarded pair of jeans or something? Were they, but he had said, basically it was like, What he meant was, I think, that he saw a person moving, but what his mind focused onto before he forgot what he saw was a pair of pants, like legs. He says pants. He meant legs that were wearing pants.
Yeah.
He didn't specify, I mean, it's just a weird thing to say. What about the rest
really
of the body?
Yeah.
If you only saw a pair of walking pants, that's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
If
totally.
You meant that they were attached to an entire mysterious person, then why are you describing them as pants?
Exactly. Right.
It's so bizarre.
You must make the assumption that
But he's not a very bright guy.
Pants.
He's not a very bright guy. He is. I'm kidding.
No, come on. Come on.
He's bright for his
He
mind type.
Let's come up with a compliment we can give him. He is, his visual acuity must
is
be very high because
to specify
yes
articles of clothing at a distance in the dark.
Yeah, he's very good at seeing specific articles.
He's very good
clothing.
At that. He's also good at.
He might be slightly autistic, actually, if he sees the details and not the overall picture.
Pants. Pants.
Pants. Oh, my God. I see so many pants in the mall.
Yeah. No, that was obviously funny. And also, it was early enough still that it very likely just could have been somebody in their office.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, and so once that comes up, once you start, he told some other people. And then it becomes, oh yeah, I saw a shadow once.
Mm-hmm.
You saw a shadow once.
I heard a noise once.
Yeah, I swear to God. And that was, those were the stories people started telling, was vague things like that. Oh, I saw a shadow in the shadows, you know. And you go, well, that's, aside from being hard to distinguish, the darkness is where your eyes play tricks on you.
Yeah.
I mean,
is that
a mystery to people?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Do people not know that? Your eyes make mistakes with less light.
Yeah. How many ghost stories do you hear about when it's broad daylight and somebody goes out to get the newspaper?
Yeah,
and
he's just
down.
Standing
you
on
never
the sidewalk.
See a ghost there?
No.
Never. It's always at night. It's always
around a corner or just turning a corner.
Exactly. It's always where
standing
your senses
in the distance.
Are not 100%.
It's basically the way they do it in films.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Which is another
art imitates life,
thing.
Imitates art, imitates life. And then somebody else told another story of a seeing a, I think it was a boy or a girl or something, like, in, you know, inside. They were the first ones here that day, or I don't remember the story, but something like that, inside, that they saw a little boy. And again, it's that same thing. You hear that and you imagine it being 100% accurate when they tell you the story, and it's easy to go, oh, I don't know how to explain that. But again, it's always in the details.
Yeah.
And when pressed for details, I've never had one of those stories genuinely
they
hold
never
up.
Hold water. Never.
That's my experience, but I don't know.
But and the other thing about these stories, too, that is interesting to me is that it's not enough to say, oh, well, it was a little girl, or oh, it was a ghost, or this or that. It's like then you have to explain what the ghost was doing there. How it got into
places.
Like supernatural, stopping at the supernatural explanation isn't enough.
Yeah, you can't just go, it's supernatural, therefore all
weird
other questions are null and void.
You still have to answer the question. You still haven't figured out why that orange lifted itself off the table and then
How did it do it physically?
Yeah.
And not that everybody's a scientist, but the point is you do have to conduct certain tests to draw certain conclusions, and they're just not done.
It's not an explanation. It's really not a full-fledged explanation to say that.
It's, again, it's that same thing you always run into of, I don't really know, therefore ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Therefore ancient aliens.
Exactly right. And you gotta, no matter how unlikely a natural explanation seems, a million times more likely than a ghost did it.
Well, and
right,
and
like
it's almost like, you know, it's that confirmation bias, it's willful ignorance. People who, God, it's more interesting if it's a ghost.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
or it's more terrifying.
Yeah,
and therefore it's what I'm focused
on.
It's more emotional and
powerful story.
And if you don't feel like the natural thing is what it could be,
but like, it's a million times more likely that those pants somehow fell on top of a generator somewhere and obtained an electrical charge that made them float across
that made them
the
walk
concrete.
Across the floor in a
yeah,
in a
that's a million times more likely than
manner.
Than a ghost put on some pants that weren't invisible also.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
shirt was invisible.
It is more likely. It's more probable that it was the result of some electrical charge.
And even more likely than that is you're talking shit and you didn't see anything.
Yeah, more likely than that is you were thinking how dark it was and you might see something you saw a shape and then became pants in his mind.
Yeah. But
mystery solved.
Mystery solved. Occam's razor beats us again. And I love too that the somehow there's not a natural curiosity for people when they tell these stories. Like, if I see pants walking across the parking lot,
I know.
I'm gonna fucking follow those pants around the corner, for God's sake. I mean, can you imagine?
People get scared.
Can you imagine if you found magic pants?
If I saw pants walking alone, I'd follow them.
Yeah, exactly right.
At least to see.
Or you'd look enough.
Get a camera out.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Something. You would do something. But no, it's like, oh, I can't be bothered. I'm on my break. My break's up. I got to go back
inside. Clock.
Yeah. I don't have time to follow these pants.
How am I going to relax if I'm chasing pants?
I don't have time for this, pants. Be on your way. I probably walked halfway to China by now, so I can't go.
Just sit down. I'll be right back. Yeah, that's a good point. See, I hadn't even thought that far, but if you just saw pants,
yeah,
you clearly saw pants, mm-hmm. as clearly as he seemed to claim,
right.
with his specific wording, uh-huh. Wouldn't you come back immediately and be like, guys?
Yeah, guess what I just
I know you're all working. You've got to come see this unexplainable thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's vague, why are you being so specific?
Yeah.
If it was
exactly
a vague
right.
thing that you kind of saw, you're not really sure what it was. You know.
No, totally true. Exactly right. That's why you have reason to doubt the experience a lot of times, is that it's like, if it was that real to you, then why didn't you investigate it any further? You were just content to call it a ghost and get up and make a PBK.
That's it. I wonder if that could be useful. When you encounter those things, come across those things in the future, if somebody is telling you about something that just happened or something that happened recently enough,
uh-huh.
that how do they react if you say, well, let's go check it out?
Yeah. Right.
That'd exactly. be interesting. I mean, likely they won't.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if that will somehow promote a sense of skepticism in them. If they will instantly start looking for reasons not to do it and
yeah.
will then kind of rationalize their way out of it.
Yeah, which, because it seems likely that they would say something like, well, it's probably not going to be there now. Or
yeah, you know, I mean, that's what you'd expect.
And write it off.
Well, it's been so long. Or
yeah.
If they don't want to do it, that also raises a question. And maybe in their mind, well, at least.
Yeah.
If you can get them to challenge one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember stories of haunted houses in Sacramento, where I grew up.
Yeah.
And there were old houses, and I had friends who were telling stories of they had gone down there, and they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they went in by themselves, and they were terrified, and they heard people walking around upstairs, and they ran out. Like, that was usually as far as they got.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I went totally bought it, and I thought, ooh, terrifying. And I didn't think I would ever be brave enough to go do it myself.
Yeah.
And now, as an adult, I'm so overwhelmingly curious that I would love to go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
as a kid, you know, my thought was also, see, there's that skeptical instinct. I also thought, but of course, if it's like a scary homeless man that could actually hurt me,
yeah,
I don't
right.
want to deal
yeah.
with that either.
Exactly.
And as an adult, there's that same fear, I think. Well, what if
yeah.
it's actually somebody squatting or
what
somebody...
What if it's a fucking solicitor in there? You know? I don't know that I want to...
You never know.
I don't want to deal with that. I just don't. But yeah, no, it's totally right. But that's where you get it's all fear based. You know, it's all that.
Yeah, but there is I think that is what contributes to it, because it could be an actual danger,
yeah,
aside from the unknown danger of unknown entities. You know,
yeah.
not knowing what they're capable of. That. Imagine danger. There, it could actually also be a real threat.
Yeah, totally.
And you don't want to put
yourself.
A hobo
could kill you, but a ghost could maybe
yeah,
kill you faster.
A hobo or you know, if it's somebody, what if it's somebody's home and they're just a drug
yeah,
addict
get the fuck
and they've
out
spent
of here.
All their money on drugs and people
yeah.
think it's abandoned and they're violent for
they
whatever reason.
They think you're the ghost, the drug addict.
That would be awesome.
Get out of here, you fucking ghost.
get out. And then you're hearing that going, oh my God. They think
two
you're the ghost.
Thinking
that's
each
good.
The ghost. Love it.
Yeah, they're both calling ghost hunters.
Yeah, and I mean,
like every Saturday night, there's a ghost in my house.
It's weird, man.
They break in. It's awful.
Yeah. I mean, so that's, and you wouldn't get any of those reactions, I don't think, unless, like we talked about before, unless you were going in there knowing fully that it's supposed to be a haunted house.
I've heard Joe Nickel, who I read his articles. Are you aware of him?
I think you've told me about him before.
He writes, he has a weekly article in, a regular article in Skeptical Inquirer, think. It's that one or Skeptic Magazine. I think it's Skeptical Inquirer.
Yeah.
And he's a paranormal investigator. So he makes a point of saying he's not a debunker, because debunking implies a negative mindset going in.
Right.
But he's an investigator. So he travels all over the country investigating specific claims.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's how you do it. You don't make a claim before you have the evidence.
Yeah, that's honest way to do it.
Yeah.
And so he has lots of stories about, like, people were hearing footsteps on their stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's nobody there, and he went and checked it out, and it was like the building was adjacent to a factory or something, and it was just noises from the next door building that sounded like footsteps or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he will go and determine it. And I remember him saying, I think it was some interview that I heard where he says, and the best thing is once you tell people what it really is, they're extremely grateful and they believe you and and they're happy to know the truth. Of course they're not. Nobody ever wants to believe it. They'd prefer their fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much more exciting when pants can walk around. I know. You know?
Anyway, you know, we should try, if we're trying to do interviews and stuff, we should see if we could talk to him.
Because
I don't think he's such a huge celebrity that he would be hard to get a hold of. But he has lots of stories like that.
Yeah.
And, but he's been to all kinds of haunted houses, he says. And, you know, they're never haunted. He hasn't found one yet. There's always some other explanation or nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, doesn't matter where you go, there's always some kind of urban legend. There's always some sort of haunting story. And, you know, just people want to believe it. It's exciting to think that somewhere you might encounter something that you can't explain or whatever. I remember growing up, we had the same sort of urban legends as far as like haunted houses go. And we also had, this was when I lived in Colorado, there was a road, Gold Camp Road, that was up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a story attached to it that at some point, I don't remember when this was supposed to be, but at some point a school bus had gone up and it was a dirt road. It's like pretty treacherous.
Let me guess. Made it to the top. Everyone survived.
Yep, that was it.
Yeah,
and the mountaintop.
That's how it usually goes.
No, it of course careened off the side of one of these hairpin turns.
Oh, those poor kids!
And all the kids died. And so, the story was, and I've heard so many other people.
Was it like a high drop? One of those kind of
high drop. I mean, if that thing rolled off the edge, you're gone.
100% death.
Toast. Yeah. So the thing was, you were supposed to drive up there with your car, put it in neutral at a certain spot,
mm-hmm.
and the kids would try and you would feel your car moving as the kids try and push you away from the
dangerous spot. Wait a minute. You put your car in neutral on a hill.
Yeah.
And suddenly it would move by itself.
On a mountain. And it moves all on its own.
Wow. Let me guess.
Kids.
Up. Moves up?
Moves down.
Oh, okay.
Moves down. Because the kids don't want you to go up. That's where they crash. They want you to go down.
Right.
So,
wow.
So these
children, hundreds of children, work in tandem with the laws of nature and gravity.
They do, yeah. They
smart of them
that way.
That's smart of them. Makes
it
easier.
They're selfless. They're altruists. They don't want
to. And they're kids. They can't really push, so it's probably easier to go with the flow.
Exactly. It's much easier to push when you have eight.
Really, that's it? That's the whole thing?
That's the thing, yeah.
You roll backwards when you put it in neutral. When you kill the headlights and put it in neutral.
So my friend and I had this brilliant idea.
Do you feel like a loser at the cruise control?
What?
I'm doing Beck.
Oh,
don't worry about it.
Went over my head.
It's okay.
Sorry. Yeah, so my friend and I had this idea to bring my sister up there, who's always been this, you know, acceptor and believer in psychic power and ghost stories.
This is your sister, you said? Or their sister?
This is my sister. And so we're like, you know what? We're going to bring her up there and we're going to turn this story up to 11. Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to like do all this crazy shit and try to scare the fuck out of her. So we, instead of just doing the car park thing, we parked the car. I got out and it was, there's the part that you're supposed to do it at is like a tunnel right before you're going into a tunnel. Of course, it's dark. It's scary.
You know what you should do?
What should
in the future is find someone with kids that will volunteer to wait there.
A family.
You wouldn't need 100 kids. You'd need one.
Yeah.
One kid. The mom could be in the bushes waiting and just have the kid go up and put his hands on the window. God, you'd be terrified.
Fuck.
Even if you did it, you'd be scared.
Ours wasn't
even. Even if you knew they were coming, it would be like, okay, I can't really deal with this, but go ahead.
This fucker's not staying in neutral. Ours didn't even have an internal logic like that. We just wanted to scare her. So he parked the car. I went into the tunnel where they couldn't see me. And then I acted like I collapsed in the middle of the tunnel where you're supposed to put the car. He turns on the headlights, you know.
So you went up ahead of them?
Yeah, I went up ahead
of
them.
So she didn't know you were there?
She knew I was there. We were all walking around. We're like...
And then you went, and fell down.
We were trying to set the mood of like, I can feel something.
Hold on, I'm confused. You were in the car, out of the car?
Out of the car at this point. He parked the car.
So, and you all got out.
And we're getting...
And you were walking, and then you collapsed.
I collapsed in the middle of the tunnel.
Okay.
He gets back in the car. They turn on the lights, see me laying in the...
Oh, like they couldn't find you.
Street.
So he went to the light. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then, so they drive up, scoop me up. Put me in the car. And then I was...
What was she doing?
I was pretending to be possessed.
I want to hear about your sister at this point.
Well, here's the thing. I had my eyes closed this whole time because I was like acting
committed.
Like I was in this trance state.
Committed to it.
And so I was like, you know, just saying...
But she wasn't like screaming or whimpering or...
No.
Mike?
No, she wasn't...
I don't know if your sister loves you as much as you think.
She might not have.
She's disinterested.
She wasn't screaming. She was clearly concerned. I mean,
she had her headphones on, just reading a book.
I remember, actually, one thing I do remember that she did. She was, like, you know, trying to shake me out of it. And I was just, I forget what I was saying. I was saying, like, the Lord's Prayer interspersed with help us and, you know, just various little kid things like that.
The creepy
stuff. Bus driver. The bus driver.
Really?
Yeah, just anything I could think of. And so
like, do it. What was like, what would you have said?
It was like, oh God, pain all around. The glass. There's shattered glass. Timmy.
Lead me not into temptation.
Yes, which I can't remember anymore.
What's the prayer?
I can't remember what the
prayer is. Our Father who art in heaven. The glass,
give
Timmy!
Give us this bread, our daily bread.
Timmy, give us bread.
The driver. So it was stuff like that.
Timmy's not the name of the driver, just for clarification.
Timmy's
a boy.
My friend.
He's not related to the boy from Lassie.
So one thing she did that I remember is she turned on the radio. The radio was on. And she's like, Mike, this is that song you like. And turned it up really loud.
Just happened to be a song you like?
Yeah. She's like, this is that song you like.
She was trying to bring you back.
Yeah. That was her attempt.
Now, the best part about that as well, that impulse, is makes perfect sense, right? Mm-hmm. But why?
Yeah. Why?
Who says that putting yours... real ears in touch with reality in some
exactly.
pleasant way is any different than just always being in reality anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is music suddenly going to bring you out as opposed to her voice or as opposed to
any
all
other
the other normal sounds
hear.
Of that
yes.
constantly exist
exactly
around you
right.
all the time. Anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, we get back home. I snap out of it. Totally normal. And it was like, it turned into one of those like Arrested Development moments where it's like, and that's why you don't believe in ghosts.
Really?
Yeah. It's like me and him, like, and that's why it's all
that's
bullshit.
That's why you don't teach your family a lesson.
So she was pretty pissed about that. Felt bad because she was concerned. I think she did end up, I think she was crying by the end of it. And I was like,
well.
You know,
you can't learn a lesson without tears.
Exactly. I had committed at that point, so I had to just And that's why.
Are you like me in that way where it's like you go, this is horribly crossing a line, but I'm so committed to this.
Yeah, that it was. That's what
it's worse to just give up now.
Yes, exactly. And I couldn't admit it. I couldn't be like, yeah, see, so I'm never going up there again. It's really haunted. I had to go.
We had to wag a finger.
Sis, I'm sorry, but it's all bullshit. Okay. I'm fine. Don't worry.
Oh, that's amazing. What was your friend? He wasn't laughing.
He did pretty good. He's
been hard not to laugh.
Yeah.
If you're doing Timmy.
He
was feeding you suggestions for your improv?
I think
Talk about the driver. The driver. Wasn't the bus yellow? The yellow bus.
Yeah, trying to get me to tell the story.
Yeah.
I'm in a trance, but I can still
went over the edge.
It's more like hypnosis, really. Mm-hmm. When you're in that state. But, you know, so obviously it's bullshit. Obviously your car is going to roll down a fucking hill when you're in neutral.
What reason is there to believe that it's children instead of gravity?
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, why there? Like, the bus rolls off and their souls, but presumably at the bottom.
Wait a minute, you were in a tunnel as well, right?
Yeah, it was a tunnel.
So how did the bus go over in a tunnel? That was the spot?
I don't fucking know. I don't know how. Here's what it probably was. The story probably existed, and the tunnel just happened to be the scariest place that people went up there. Yeah. So it eventually became.
I wouldn't go so far as to say the story probably existed.
Well,
the
tunnel and the bus thing probably got mixed together.
There's probably a tunnel, and that's about as real as it gets. And everything else is comes out of.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you're gonna go up there,
I bet we could find that out. I bet we could find out if there was a bus crash in that in your city.
Oh yeah,
ever?
I'm sure. And
you know what? I
highly doubt that.
I'm going to look it up right now. But keep telling a story or something, so it's not dead air.
Yeah. So it's Colorado Springs bus crash of 61. No, I don't know. But So if you're going to go up there and look for ghosts and stuff, you're going to go to the scariest spot, which happened to be the tunnel.
Where's Woodland Park?
Woodland Park, that's not it.
There's a lot of bus crashes, by the way, recently in Colorado.
Yeah,
Springs.
It doesn't have to be old. November 10th. That's the other thing about ghosts, by the way. They're never ghosts like from the 80s or something.
Yeah.
It's always 150. Victorian.
Yeah. What about all the other people that have died?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What year was it that you did that with your sister?
Oh, 2000, maybe something. Bus crash on Gold Camp Road.
Holy
Gold
shit,
Camp
there
Road.
It is. The tunnel's haunted by children from
the school bus
accident.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. This is from unsolvedmysteries.com, where they have basically every single unsolved weird mystery in Colorado Springs, specifically Gold Camp Road. In the late 70s, a school bus of elementary kids were taking a field trip up the road. With that said, you must realize that Gold Camp Road is a narrow dirt road winding around sharp corners across the mountainside. Tunnels had to be dug through the mountain in three different locations to allow the train tracks to be laid. The true story follows. So everything else was bullshit.
Yeah.
As the bus approached the third tunnel, rocks and boulders began to slide down the mountain, slamming into the bus. Most people assume that the driver probably feared being knocked off course by the boulders and took shelter inside the tunnel, as opposed to having just driven through the tunnel anyway.
Yeah, right. Or putting on the brakes.
How did they know the details of, like, when he started seeing it? And he took shelter in the tunnel. Yeah. Why wouldn't he have just driven
into
the tunnel?
Your knee-jerk reaction is to back up a fucking school bus into a tunnel? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know. It's... Okay, we'll get there and then we'll... Most people.
Okay.
So that must be true. Took shelter inside the tunnel. Unfortunately, the boulders were shifting due to an earthquake, which caused the tunnel to collapse around the bus, suffocating all inside. To this day, the tunnel has never been fully dug out, because fuck them, they're kids. We don't need them. It is still... I misread that last part. It is still closed off, though most of the debris has been removed. The evidence that this is true is there in the tunnel. When workers began to dig the bodies out, They realized that the roof of the now demolished bus was the only thing keeping the tunnel from crumbling completely, which is definitely true. If you dare to wiggle through the hole, someone else was curious, and I don't know what that means. I guess someone dug a hole. In the chain link fence that now surrounds the tunnel, you will see the roof of the school bus hanging from the top of the cave-like tunnel.
Hanging from what? It has been attached firmly to beams in an effort to keep the roof of the tunnel up. You know...
I don't see any reason to doubt this article, dude. Unsolvedmysteries.com. It's what they do.
There's like five miraculous things just to account for this fucking school bus being in a tunnel.
Okay, so what's weird is that they say boulders start falling and then he sought shelter in the tunnel from the boulders and then the tunnel collapsed. How?
Due to an earthquake.
Yeah, that's fine, but that's the second thing. But how do they know that he was fleeing from the initial boulders if he was killed before the story was told? And that he sought shelter in the tunnel that he also happened to have to drive through anyway. Why isn't the story that a guy was driving through a tunnel and it collapsed on him? You see, the anecdote getting injected into...
Yes, and indeed. And now the tunnel they're talking about, this collapsed tunnel, it's not you drive straight through it and you have no choice but to go through the tunnel along the road. This is off to the side. So you have to turn into this tunnel, the collapsed one. There are tunnels that are just over the road that you pass through. But this one, that's why I was saying like...
Oh, so this is a tunnel to nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so that's probably why they assume like he sought refuge there.
But the thing is, that's
oh,
why
so
I was
it was a railroad tunnel, not a bus tunnel.
This one.
The third one. The oh, third so one that's collapsed. What they're saying is he drove where it wasn't for a bus. But have you heard that the bus was in there?
No.
You never heard that part?
Not that tunnel specifically. We always were at a different tunnel. But that's why it's so weird, though, that in order to avoid the boulders, he would have had to take a turn off the main road into this tunnel or have backed up or something like that. It's not like it would have been a quick knee-jerk reaction for the bus to do that.
I'm curious to know if you can actually see a school bus in there.
I'm curious too. One.
So it sounds like they got
holding up the shaft.
See, they sort of tell it in different ways. Like, so they never cleared the tunnel out, but they did get people out.
Yeah, but
according to this story,
because they knew because it was supporting the cave. Supporting the entire tunnel.
Mountain.
Just a disembodied roof, by the way. Not like the chassis of the bus.
So yeah, right.
Just the roof itself.
Well, I want more information. You'll have to dig this up. Well, anyway, that's enough about ghosts and haunted things, I think. We did a whole hour on that. I think that means we're about out of time.
Yeah. And with that bit of bullshit.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
As always, we do this live. We just kind of go with it. So if you guys have any suggestions or anything you'd like to hear, I think we should. We tried it before, but I think we should find some more regional ghost stories and things. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, send them in. You know, if you're listening to this and you have a similar story, there's tons of urban legends everywhere.
So send us an email at yeahrightskeptics
at gmail.com.
And you can visit our website, which may or not be up, may or may not be up yet. YeahRightSkeptics.com or
YeahRightSkeptics.wordpress.com.
Let's get the domain. We'll do that.
We'll get it.
So thanks for listening. Again, what we're trying to do is just give you like-minded people a way to feed your brain, entertain yourselves for an hour or so. And
hopefully you have a new perspective on your own urban legends.
There are other people like you, and we are one of them.
Yeah.
Well, we are two of them.
We're them.
All right. Have a good day.
Have a good one.
Or night.
Yeah, probably.
We need an ending for this. Probably we'll figure it out. Goodbye.
This is Mike Wierzynski signing off. And until next week. Yeah, right.
And also Mike O'Day. Goodbye.
We'll do that together and then say, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. We'll have a